know that even if there isn't a huge crowd watching you, your little steps of obedience are being watched and being honored, and there will be fruit for you.
What's up, guys? It's Micah Keneally, and this is the Young Adults Today podcast. And calling all 18 to 30-year-olds, if you are available days May 17, 18, and 19, we want to extend an invitation to you at Lake Geneva for the one and only Young Adults Weekend, where we just kind of come around, have a lot of fun. We have worship, breakout sessions, and so much more. So check out to get your tickets at www.youngadults.today/the-WKND to get $10 off with the code use podcast with an exclamation point, PODCAST exclamation point. And today's episode is presented by Church Plant Master's Class, put together by our friends at Rocket Media. So use code YAT50 for 50% off the course. It's available also at www.churchplantmasterclass.com. And lastly, for today's episode, we are joined by our friend Rachel Skoog. Rachel is the founder of Her Inc., and she is an amazing entrepreneur. Stay tuned to the end of this episode for a special offer in the show notes just for our podcast listeners. And now onto our conversation about making a difference in this world through entrepreneurship right here on the Young Adults Today podcast. What's up, guys? Hope you're feeling alive right now. I'm Micah Keneally.
I'm Josiah Keneally. We're your hosts. This is the Young Adults Today podcast, where we're passionate about the faith of the next generation, reaching young adults for Christ in our world today. We drop new episodes on Mondays to help you start your week and your leadership out strong. We're joined today by our friend, special guest, Rachel Skoog. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here, you guys. This is awesome.
Well, we are so thrilled to have you. And for those of you who do not know Rachel Skoog, they're not only dear friends, her and her husband have just become friends as time's gone on, but she is doing something incredible. And I just feel like she's going to be an awesome guest. She is actually the co-founder of Her Inc. And I'm just going to have her unpack that, what that is. Before we do, Rachel, would you just like to share with the audience maybe a recap of your story, life, journey, and maybe how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Yes, I would love to. First, I am a mom and a wife. So my husband and I, Ryan, we've been married 22 years this year, and we have three kids, all teenagers, 10, 11, and 12th grade. So they're all going to be leaving the nest in the next 3 years, which is so crazy. But I guess I have grown up in a Christian home, loved Jesus. And it's kind of humorous to me to watch the different doors that God has opened for me. And I just feel so honored to be where I am right now. The Lord has... Ryan and I were talking, we went out last night, went skiing, and just how grateful we are, because it truly, we've had some really crazy years, and God has brought us through, and it's awesome. And I'm really, truly grateful. So, I can't wait to share a little bit about our story of the businesses that we've started and the different opportunities that the Lord has brought our way. It's, again, just an honor.
So true. And Rachel, I remember you talk about 22 years ago. I remember the Sunday at Cedar Valley Church. I was probably a youth student. And I remember they played a video one morning of Ryan, your husband, flying to Australia to get down on one knee and propose. So yeah. I just remember that. And that's, you guys, awesome. You're just both so fun. You live an unboring Christian life. It's full of adventure. You said yes to Jesus. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that we're dying to ask, because we ask every guest, and I know you and Ryan both believe in young adults, in teenagers. You've been youth pastors in the past, but why do you believe that discipling the next generation is so vital and so important, even in 2024?
Yeah, well, they are the ones who are going to carry on the legacy. If you don't have young adults or teenagers who know Christ and who are following in his footsteps, that is going to be lost. And so it is absolutely imperative for the story of Christ and his church to continue for the next generation. And it's exciting because God begins to put dreams in different people's hearts as at a young age, and to see them begin to awaken to the gifts that are inside of them and awaken to the dreams that God has put in them little by little, right? Like one step at a time. And to see them come alive, it is so, it's truly amazing to watch that. And so without that next generation, there is a big hole that is missing within the church.
Oh my gosh. And speaking of dreams, we know that you and Ryan are not small thinkers. You are not small doers. It's like go big or go home for God's kingdom. And I love that about you. Even the short amount of time that I've known you, it's been probably 10 years since I've first met you guys, but I just admire you, whether it's been close up or afar, of just the sincerity of your heart and just your determination to see lives change for Christ, whether it's literally in your home, your backyard, your community, or across the entire globe. And God put a dream in your heart. I don't know when this dropped into your heart, but you had a dream and a vision to reach women specifically. So can you just talk about the journey of starting Her Inc. and what that looks like, what you do, the heartbeat behind it, and how it came about?
Sure. So again, opportunities that God drops in our laps, right? Little dreams. And so we were having a friend from Nepal was staying with us over Christmas, and she and I were talking, and she began sharing about in Nepal that women, when they get their periods or are going through puberty, they don't know what's happening to their bodies. So when they first get their period, they think that they're dying. She just began sharing. And she said to me, "Will you please come and tell the women what's going on?" And I just laughed because I'm not a nurse. I have some teenage daughters, but that's the extent of my knowledge. And she's like, "I don't care. Just whatever you told your daughter, come and tell these ladies in Nepal." And so that began a whole chain of events of us putting together a team of nurses and putting together a plan of, okay, how do we make this happen? And so again, I didn't know what I was doing, right? You just go for it and try it and ask and figure it out as you go. And we had a nurse come with us and we did our first training. I believe it was in the beginning of 2019. And we taught about feminine health and hygiene and what goes on in your bodies. And it was so amazing to watch these young girls learn. And then after that, we did that first trial run. We did more research out into the real communities out in Nepal, like what is going on. And so we sent Hannah and a group of ladies out there to learn. And what we found was really, really stunning to us. We learned that women are allowed to eat certain foods when they're on their periods. They're not allowed to go into the kitchen, make food. They're not allowed to look men in the eyes for fear of making them sterile or sick, even animals. And so we learned about this practice called chow potty, and it's an outlawed practice, but it's still done today out in rural communities and even in other countries, it's practiced in different ways. But women are forced into huts outside of their homes, outside of their communities, and they're forced to stay there for 3 to 7 days, depending on what the community agrees on. And they're exposed to the elements while they're out there. They're all alone in the jungle. They're exposed to animals, abuse, traffickers, and they also skip school. So a lot of girls end up dropping out of school because month after month, they're unable to make up their schoolwork and it's just not worth it. And so that leaves them vulnerable to trafficking. And so we learned through all of this research, right, of our Nepali sisters going and asking questions of their different community and what was going on, we learned that to prevent human trafficking, if we actually began to talk about menstruation and begin to talk about period stigmas, it actually can prevent trafficking, which just blew our minds. Like, what? This is crazy. All from that one conversation with Hannah on my couch.
That is wild. And I would never think in this day and age, like on some of those levels, I don't know. Like, I'm just fascinated because I knew elements of what you guys did, but even just hearing the process behind the scenes, it's like, holy cow, like what a disadvantage it is. Like you might not come back from the jungle. You might not come ever back to your home, whether you are taken out by a wild animal or you are truly human trafficked. And to be a victim of either is horrendous, but to create those opportunities for women to come together to understand, like, this is a natural human thing.
Yeah.
Cultural difference maker. You have something to say. Go ahead.
I'm want to help the listener, Rachel, understand kind of the two elements that I'm hearing you describe of the Her Inc. It sounds like there's an education piece. And of course, then there's a product as well. Am I right in picking that up?
Yes. So there's two different things. So the education piece, so through venture.org, the nonprofit that my husband is president of and co-founded, we do a lot of that they're the organization that's the hands on the ground, empowering the lady trainers to get the training and a reusable feminine hygiene kit to the ladies in Nepal. And then as that was growing, my friend Leslie approached me and she said, what if we started a company here in the United States where we sold a product and it helped sustainably fund these feminine hygiene kits and this program that is the nonprofit side. So we started this company. It's been like a little over a year now, like a year and a half. And that is, we sell period panties and other reusable fem care products. And for every one of those that sold, we're able to give directly to those projects over in Nepal. So it's kind of like two different branches. It's similar names, but two different branches. One is a nonprofit and one is a for-profit.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love for you to unpack more of your vantage point on that, because from our vantage point, you and Ryan have started other companies, and you mentioned venture, but where this connects, I think, for the listener is an entrepreneurial drive. Maybe they have a desire to do good in the world or start up a company. We even love the show Shark Tank. I know we do. Yeah. And one of the trends right now I see is social entrepreneurship. The idea that you can, I mean, Tom's Shoes is kind of like the textbook example of you buy a pair, you wear them, but they give a pair globally. Like there are other, that seems to just be catching on because it makes the consumer a part of the story, and they're by purchasing a product, they're doing good in the process. But you guys have a number of businesses, and with all of them, it seems like there's a unique business model. They serve customers and meet needs. Can you share about this?
Yes. So Ryan is part of an entrepreneurial family. His dad started his company, I think it's 40 years ago now. I could be wrong. It was a long time ago before I was a part of their family. And so Ryan jokes that in order to come to the dinner table, you have to start a company, which is not true, but it is kind of funny. So his brother has started one. And so they're all part of the family of companies in different ways. And one of the things that I love about the Skook family is they are extremely generous. One of my father-in-law's gifts is generosity, and he is always giving, whether it is funds, whether it is words, whether it is prayer. He is one of the most generous men. And so that has rubbed off on Ryan and the rest of us. And so using their creativity, that creative mind, that contrarian way of thinking to raise funds. Yes, there's a traditional way of raising funds and having galas and all that is super, super important. But there's also some other creative ways that God can steer you to raise funds. And that's where he's led us. And that isn't for everybody. That isn't for everyone. But at the same time, it's a really neat thing that is going on. And a change, I would say, in businesses, if you don't have that giving component, it's kind of detrimental to your business. That's almost a necessity for the next generation, young adults, that they want to see that and see the transparency of where is the money actually going as well.
Yes, I think we're serving a generation, hopefully the generations to come, like they see a need and they want to help meet that need. And I think Josiah even said it, like they want to be a part of the story because there's a connection. And I just remember even being a kid, like there was Operation Christmas Child. And that's something that we so looked forward to every single year to be able to bless somebody across the world who might not have a Christmas gift, to bless somebody with a pair of shoes like Tom's, or to do exactly what you're doing, to like buy one, give one. And I think that's a part of the body of Christ coming together and getting creative in entrepreneurial space, getting creative in the business mindset to say, like, this isn't about us making money. This is about changing the world and making it a better place and giving people a chance who might not have a chance, or giving them a pair of shoes or a pair of socks or feminine products in a country that pretty much, you know, sends them away for, you know, a week out of the month. Like, and I love what you guys are doing. And many of our listeners with this podcast, they might be pastors, they might be leaders, they might be have a little side gig a little thing on the side. And whether that's starting a nonprofit, starting a business, running something solo, like there's more in all of us. And I think some of our listeners are trying to discover what is that more, or what has God placed in us, and how do we start? So for the listener, what advice do you have for someone who might want to start a business, maybe even start a ministry or a movement in 2024? What would you say to that person who's in that, I'm ready to say yes, but what advice would you attach to that?
Sure, sure. So I would say, first and foremost, you have to pray a lot. And that seems pretty basic, but it is really, really important. Just because you have an idea doesn't mean that it's right now. Sometimes we have to build that atmosphere of prayer in order for it to germinate and for that seed to grow, to open doors. I know, like for my own business, there are times where I feel very stuck, or, and I'm like, I need to just stop and I need to pray. And so taking that time, and lo and behold, a few days later, a door opens that I could not have forced open. And so knowing that it's not approaching it almost like you would some sort of religious, you know, like a mission trip, or it's important. Prayer is a part of it. Taking mm-hmm. that same mentality of a pastor to your business is super important. So saturating it in prayer. I would say finding mentors. There's got to be people within your community who you can ask questions of, and a group of people that are going to support you and who are going to encourage you, because it can be kind of you're out there doing something and you don't always know what you're doing, and you need people to come alongside you and encourage you and support you and lift you up. So finding that group of friends beforehand, having a group text, letting them know meetings you're having, praying about it, you know, having them encourage you, all that is super, super helpful. And I would also say, as you jump in, there's this book that I recently found. It's called Everything is Figureoutable. I really love that title.
Yeah.
It's by Marie Forleo, I think is how you say her name. But I love that phrase, because truly everything is figureoutable. You're not going to know how to do everything, but if you put in the hard work, do the next hard thing, you're going to be able to figure it out. So that's what I would tell somebody who wants to look into doing something this next year, whether it's a movement or a business or ministry of some sort.
Oh my gosh. As followers of Christ, I think that something that we've observed is just this opportunity to embrace becoming comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's just not a lot of comfort zone that God calls our territory. It's like there's no growth inside the comfort zone. But then when you go to the growth zone, there's just not a lot of comfort there. So as we get comfortable becoming uncomfortable, I mean, the way you guys say it around venture, I love this idea that you can move from comfortable to less comfortable on the behalf of others. Yeah. And do hard things for people in hard places. And yeah. I think I saw you post within the last week or two about a run or opportunity that people could kind of plug in with everything you're doing, from venture to the Her Inc. Unpack yeah. that.
Yeah. So there is a movement within venture called Run for Her. And excuse me, it is a run, 8 mile, 16 mile. You can run or walk. And it's ladies who are raising funds and walking on behalf of their sisters overseas. And the funds that are raised go directly to the women empowerment programs with venture. And it is really neat. They've seen women who are runners, women who are not runners, everybody, kids all the way up to older women who are joining. And it's just a really neat crew. And so this year, my daughter and I are going to do it and some friends, but you can find out more information. I can give that to you guys. You can put it in your show notes or email and stuff for your listeners.
Yeah. When is the actual run? I know you can do it in person or virtual.
Yeah, it's May 8th is the virtual or the in-person run here in Minnesota. And then it's runforher.org where you can go and find more information.
I love it. I know, just honestly, from knowing you guys and from knowing Brent Silkey, I remember probably college at North Central University, I got invited to do something called Run for the Border. And we ran four back-to-back marathons, 100 miles in 4 days. And that's hard.
It's incredibly hard. I remember coming and cheering for you guys and just thinking, how crazy are these guys? How are they doing this? It's just nuts.
I mean,
how did you do it, Josiah?
Like the part I don't recommend is because I was in college, I didn't train. And so that was the extra hard part. But I mean, we've done other things like 30 for freedom. Anytime they add a new distance, we just try to sign up for that distance. I think we've done
all
of them or almost all the distances. But I think that it's just a cool thing for maybe your young adult ministry to check out. Maybe it's you lead like Micah does, a young adult small group of women. This might be a great run, but you could find out the other projects of Venture. I've just never seen young adults like jump on board with something like a half when you get to run and you get to raise funds. I think of our friend Sam, and he did, I think it was for 30 for Freedom. And he raised just from his coworkers and what he decided to give like $4,000 by running last year's 30 for Freedom. And you're making a difference. You get to co-suffer. You get to be a part of doing something that might be different or uncomfortable. You might not classify yourself as a runner, but don't write God out of the story. And so you can find out more of that. We'll link it in the show notes. Any other questions on that?
I love that. No, I love what, even going back to that last question that we had asked you, Rachel, about like, where do we start if we have something that God, like a God-sized dream in our heart? And you said prayer. And one thing that your husband taught us, like literally a month ago, or maybe a month and a half ago, was Lord, surprise me. And that's something we've literally adopted every single day. And it can be something so small. Like I walked out of Starbucks and I found $4 sitting by my car. I was like, Lord, surprise me. He paid for my coffee. You know, and it's something so silly. You're like, okay, is God behind everything? I think so on some things, but just like little things like that, or a supporter comes alongside. It's like, hey, what are you guys in need of? Hey, let me grab that bill. Hey, let me take you out to coffee. Let me hear your vision. Like the surprise me prayer is awesome. And I think when you invite God into that, when your dream feels so daunting and you feel so exposed and you feel so uncomfortable, there's a phrase that we've learned this last year and a half, and it's choose your hard.
Yes.
And choose your hard. I mean, and they just go through this entire list of opposites. Being rich is hard. Being poor is hard. Having friends is hard. Having no friends is hard. Being overweight is hard. Being underweight is hard. Like literally being single is hard. Being married is hard. And it's like, choose your hard. And I'm like, yes. Like, and I think that's exactly what we're choosing to do. Even in this conversation, choose your hard and dedicate it to God and work as though you're working for the Lord. Even if you're the CEO of your own company, it's still God's. And I just think that that is something so fun to do and team up. When you team up with him, he's your CEO. Even though you have the position on this side, no. He's the one you're going to in prayer. He's the person you're going to surrendering all when you don't know how you're going to make ends meet. When we have an event and two people are signed up and we're like, oh, we're 4 weeks out. Does anybody even want to do this? Like, we're just going to trust God that whoever's supposed to be there is going to be there. And however God wants to do this, he's going to do this. But that doesn't mean that we stop and forsake the calling and the process of the hard, right? So,
Rachel, how has God surprised you in starting this company?
Ooh, that's good.
That's a great question. I think for me, I will be very vulnerable. It has brought out a lot of stuff inside of me that I needed to work through. You know, realizing, oh, I don't like being uncomfortable. I don't like sitting in that place of, I don't know what to do. And when I'm sitting in that place, what comes out of me is anxiety. What comes out of me is this distrust. What comes out of me is I don't like it. And so learning new habits, learning to make my mind go to different places when I start feeling that coming forward, when I'm in a place that's uncomfortable. Okay, I'm here. I can do this. This is figure outable. Jesus, you're going to help me. Instead of going to that place of anxiety and where your mind is racing and you have to physically, like sometimes you almost have to physically do something, like put your hands on your head and take it out and, put it in front of you. Because it feels so overwhelming. So I think I have learned a lot about me personally. It's been a really good growing experience. I've learned that I can do things that I never thought that I could do. Putting myself out there, starting things, figuring it out, making mistakes. I don't like to make mistakes. I don't think many of us do, but it's okay now. I can make mistakes. The people in my life are still going to love me and care about me, and it's all right. It's going to be okay. So I've learned a lot personally in all of that, really growing with the Lord and learning how to be disciplined, because it is a discipline and it's not always enjoyable to stop and make your brain think like how Christ wants me to think.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
I read this article that was talking about adults, and one of the things that prevents people beyond the ages of 18 to like why do they not try new things? And I think the number one thing they found was the fear of looking silly, or the fear of looking stupid, and or the like just admitting like I don't know how to do this. Where if you're our daughters, our kids are 2 and 3, so they're asking us questions all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the childlike faith, is asking God, that you've talked about through prayer. And then just, I remember when we felt led to start a podcast, a ministry called Our Daily Bread reached out. They said, hey, we'll send you some money if you give us a sample episode. They never used it, but it forced us to record an episode. And I didn't know what to do it from there. So I talked to Jeff Dio, because he's a friend and he has a home studio. He goes, come over, I'll teach you how to edit it. And from that day, like our friend Jeff, he taught us how to create an MP3 file, export it. To your point of that book title, everything is Googleable, or everything is figureable.
Yeah.
And I think that it's amazing now that like we met with somebody and they're like, how do you start a podcast? And we're like, well, here's what we wish we would have known. Right. So learn from our failures. Yeah. And hopefully that helps other people go further, faster, and just be willing to be uncomfortable and try new things, and not let the fear of, I guess for me, it's sometimes not that let the fear of reputation or what mm-hmm. other people think, because I'm asking a question. And I love that you went there and you were vulnerable. Thanks for sharing that.
Yes. And I think you find that a lot of people are in that same boat. They're just trying it. They're just figuring it out as they're going along. There's pieces of where you've had experience and you have a wealth of knowledge, but anytime that you step into a new area and are trying something, you're always going to feel that uncomfortable unease, and being okay with that and having success through it gives you that confidence of, oh, all right, I can do this. It's okay. We've got this. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is a weird thing that I think I've learned in the classroom as like an older student going back to school, getting another degree, was like, I would not be, there were things that were uncertain and unclear of like what the professor wanted. And I just raised my hand. I'm like, this might be a stupid question, but fill in the blank. Like I just asked my question and nobody else, I was the only one that would go. Everybody's like, I had the same question. Like, oh my gosh, right. I'm so glad you asked. So I just say, hey, this might sound silly or stupid, but how in the world do I use Moodle? Like, what are we talking about? We're saying Moodle, or something like that. And you're not the only one. And I think when you can say like, I have no idea, I'm willing here, I'm willing to learn. And when we can like set our pride aside, or put that fear of feeling silly aside, wow, that's what God wants us to do. That's how we should go to him every day. Like, Lord, I do not know how I'm going to do this, but you told me to do X, Y, and Z, I'm here and you better move because I'm just being obedient. So I think those are just some things to learn. That's one tactic. And the other one I've learned having children when I'm in the doctor's office or wherever, I'm like, is there something that I'm not asking that I should? Like, what do I need to know that I'm not asking? And they're like, whoa, that's a great question. Actually, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, okay, why didn't you tell me that before? But it's asking people around us or sharing our vision in order for people to help, in order for God to come in. So I think those are just some two random tactics anytime I feel inadequate. And I'm like, okay, I'll be the doofus that asks. I don't care.
That's great. It's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Well, here, we're going to go a different direction. Are you ready?
Yes. Before we do, you just like give the quick good report on the Hurt Inc. Because I thought I saw how many people have been educated and trained, and there's just some amazing things that God's doing through it. Go there for a second.
Yeah. So the HER program, so Himalayan Entrepreneurial Resources, the empowerment program through Venture, since it started, over 40,000 women have been trained in the feminine health and hygiene curriculum. And I just, at the beginning, when I say I laugh at these doors that God has opened, this is one of those. Like, what in the world? 40,000 women who have been trained, and they are being trained by other Nepali ladies who are passionate about all of this, who have fasted and prayed and strategically picked different communities that they feel led to go to. And they are going and seeing women begin to make changes in their own lives and in training their daughters. Like, you can't make that stuff up. It's God's timing. He has been opening those doors. And so it's truly incredible to have been part of that and know that he's just getting started.
He is. And I just think about what impact out of your obedience is changing the lives of these women, which has the potential to change culture.
Yeah.
Like, truly how a man sees a woman can be changed, or how a culture responds to women in this sense can be changed, how human trafficking can be changed. Like, there's a ripple effect that is stories we're never going to hear maybe on earth, but when you get to heaven, yeah, it's like, we know her.
Yeah. And God. And it's, and you can't put a plan together. You can't put a business plan together to make that happen.
Exactly.
You can't foresee those things. And so when I say go to, when you're starting and in the middle of it, when I say go to prayer, I really mean it, because those are the types of things that God does when you begin to truly give it to him and not hold it tightly. You know, we had our ideas and things that we wanted, and all those things fell flat. And we're like, okay, we're just going to wait now. And there are times where we would just wait and all we would do is pray, and it felt very fruitless and silly, but that's what was needed in order for this other piece to be put into place, in order for this to be put into place, so that it could have those effects that God had down the road.
I love it.
And for the listener, what I would just tell you today, maybe you're watching on YouTube, somebody is waiting on your yes to God. Mm. If it's God asks you to do it, that's enough right there. But I really think that somebody is waiting for you to write that book. They're asking a question that you have the answer, and you have the opportunity to answer that on God's behalf. You know, there might be 40,000 people waiting on the training. They might be waiting on your yes. And that's what's at stake here in prayer and in obedience, yeah, in stepping out of the comfort zone. There is people that are waiting on your yes to Jesus and to God. And I just think that's so important.
I love that. All right, we're going to switch gears. Rachel, are you ready for one of our audience's favorite sessions or segments of a session, whatever you want to say, for the 5 and 5?
Yes, let's do it.
5 questions, 5 minutes on the clock. Ooh,
all right.
Right here. What is on your heart for young leaders right now?
I think what's on my heart for young leaders right now is for them to just begin to step into the things that are on their hearts. God is beginning to put dreams inside of you. Pray into them. I know I've been saying that over and over again, but pray over them. Allow the Lord to bring up gifts and talents that are inside of you and begin to take those little steps of yes that are in front of you. I think that is so important and so needed right now in our time, as culture shifts, as you know, one generation is getting older and the next generation is coming up. God is going to begin to cause young people to step into this new destiny that he has for them. And it's exciting. It's awesome.
It is.
This one's off script, but because you've brought up prayer, I mean, right here, I just have some of these. These are the prayer cards that went along with your husband Ryan's book. And I use a deck of these. They've transformed my prayer life. I think we got them before the book was out and stuff like that. But we can link those in the show notes as well. But Rachel, you've talked about prayer, and that is something that as we've just been talking on college campuses with young adults, one of the questions that they're asking is like, how do I start praying? And why is prayer so important? From your perspective, how would you tackle that question?
Sure. I would say, how do you start? Just start. And even if it's, you set your timer for 1 minute, it feels like forever, but just start and set your timer, and then find a scripture, Ephesians 2, 3, 1, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, and just pray it. Find a psalm that speaks to you and pray it. If you don't have the physical words and you don't know what to say, I would just start. And as you spend more time with the Lord, he gives you a hunger for wanting to be with him more. And I remember a few years ago, I don't even know how many years ago now, I started reading through the Bible in a year. And I remember it took forever for me to, it took a long time for me to want to read my Bible and to be able to focus my mind in. And I was in my 30s, right, when this was happening. And so the same thing happens with prayer. You have to force yourself to do it. And so just start. And go from there. And what was the second part of the question? Maybe I already answered.
Why? Why do we pray?
Yeah.
Because God is amazing. He is worthy. He is the giver of all the good things that are in our lives. He loves us so dearly and wants to spend time with us. And once you get a heart for that, there's something in you that is awakened and it's beautiful. And there's this rest and this peace that comes. You don't have that hustle and that hurry. Yeah. And there's just like this contentment in the waiting periods when you might not have the answer. And you know that your prayers are doing something, even if you can't see it. So the prayers that we were praying, those in between times where we had a plan in place for the feminine hygiene projects, we're waiting. And then suddenly, bam, the door opens and, oh, okay, this is what we were waiting for. And God does that work. We don't have to. He gets to do the hard work for us. The hard work for us is sitting with him and being with him.
I love that.
Where my mind goes with that is, you know, like if you watch Netflix or any of the streaming platforms, it's like in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, next episode, and you feel like you accomplished something. But then in prayer, or to your point about Bible reading, like it is at first a little bit more of the discipline. And like, I think I've heard it may be said, and I found this to be true, that at first it can feel like a duty or a discipline, but eventually it becomes a desire.
Yeah.
And like, just a delight. Yeah, for sure.
That's good. All right. Here's another question for you, Rachel. Outside of ministry and everything that you're running behind the scenes when it comes to the business world, what is one of your favorite hobbies you enjoy for fun?
Okay. So I am an introvert. So I love to read. I love to read World War II novels about kick butt women who did amazing things during World War II. I also love to embroider and do puzzles, garden. Those are some of the fun things that I like to do.
Awesome. Incredible. This next one is the curveball. It keeps Micah and I on our toes. We never actually know what we're going to get asked. And, but if you could ask us anything, any one question, Rachel, what would you want to find out?
I would want to find out how you two, when you have a really busy week, how do you guys stay connected with each other?
Yeah. So actually, we actually learned this from somebody that we were marriage mentoring. And so every single week we have our one night a week that is our date night. And every other week we plan, like Josiah will plan thinking of me, and then I will take the other week thinking of him, what would he enjoy? So there is a date night on the calendar every single week with intentionality. That's like literally a four chunk blocked off time for us to just invest in us and not have the kids. Like,
and for me, not have my phone.
Yes.
Sure, sure.
His other baby.
I like that you plan it for each other. I like that.
This has been fun that we adopted even in dating. It's just like, okay, I'm going to think about you. What do you like? Oh, like you like mini golf, rock climbing. So just getting creative, I think. What do you have anything else added?
Oh man, for us, it can be big or small, but we've got to have something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And sure. Especially to the busy part of like our life, it can feel loud, exhausting, overwhelming. Sometimes just the amount of emotion that little kids have or the urgency, like I need help now. And there's two of them and you're pulled in two directions. I want to go downstairs. I want to be upstairs, you know? So, but I think that for us, it is finding that time to look at each other and to just, for me to ask her, like, how are you doing? How can I serve you? Man. And then I think it's like blessing and sending her to a group of friends or finding time to like, because I rarely will say like, Micah, I want to do this, but she'll often say like, I bless and send you to go and do that. And vice versa.
Well, I think it's good. Cause I think sometimes we don't know how to advocate for ourselves because we would rather self-sacrifice a workout than spending time with family. And I look at him, I'm like, you're exhausted, go on the run and don't come back until you met with Jesus. Like, that's okay. So go. You decide the distance, you decide whatever. If you want to go to the gym, run outside, just go and you will come back refreshed and you'll come back more present person or a better person or a refreshed, whatever that is. So it could be friends, a supper with friends. It could be meeting up with some of his best guy friends, getting coffee, whatever it is. And I think when we can identify that in each other, when we're like, okay, they're reaching their threshold in this area, how can I bless and send, or how can I bless and provide or take something off their plate, whether it's work or house related, and be a good teammate in that process. So,
and this might be unique to me or to us. I feel as though our work is so cerebral. So like it takes so much mental gas and energy. And it's not like we're building something or like hammering. And so I find that sometimes I need to exhaust my body with a run or a workout to almost like catch up to the level of mental exhaustion or output. And it's like, when I do that, then there's like, I don't know. That's just some of the unique things that I found.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's great.
Back to you. Question number five.
Ooh, here's the last, the final question. If you could leave the listener with one piece of encouragement, what would you want to say to them today?
Oh, I would say one piece of encouragement. I would say that I hope you know that you are deeply loved and that someone cares about you. Sorry, I keep crying.
Good.
Just that you have purpose, you have meaning, and your everyday tasks, whether they seem small or they seem big, are incredibly important. And know that even if there isn't a huge crowd watching you, your little steps of obedience are being watched and being honored, and there will be fruit from those things.
That's beautiful.
Oh my gosh, I'm encouraged by that. I know the listener is going to be as well.
I love it. Thank you so much, Rachel, for spending some time with us and our audience today. And we just appreciate you so much and look forward to the amazing things that not only you're doing, but what God is doing in and through you and people that you're reaching. So thank you.
Thank you.
This is the Young Adults Today podcast. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode right here on the Young Adults Today podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe. That way you'll never miss a thing. And if you enjoy streaming or listening or watching the Young Adults Today Leader podcast, I have a hunch that you will benefit from a couple other resources. The first is our Facebook community called Young Adult Ministry Leaders. That link is in the show notes in the episode description, where you can join a community of 2,700 other young adult ministry leaders across the globe. The second, we have coaching communities launching this April designed for you to grow as a lifelong learner with other next gen pastors, young adult ministry leaders, and campus missionaries from across the country, where the link is in the show notes. You can click on coaching communities. The last is we have a 3-book bundle, Reaching the Next, Next Gen Now, and Equip the Saints are our Young Adults Today resource book bundle, where these are great for bringing your board, your staff, your small group, or your leadership team. There's discussion guides, and really you can learn from 13 ways to engage young adults, equipping and understanding engaging young adults, and then raising up an army in the next generation. These books are available individually or in the book bundle when you visit youngadults.today. Thanks so much. We'll see you next episode right here on the Young Adults Today podcast. Plug me in, I'm all wired up right now. Plug me in, I'm getting charged up right now, yeah.